Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for this day. We thank you for your word, God. We thank you for this moment where we can just come into your house in this safe place, this sanctuary, God. Lord, and we can hear your word. We can learn of you, God. We can be encouraged, charged up by your Holy Spirit, God, that's present with us in this place. You say where two or more are gathered, you are there in the midst. And God, we know that you're in our presence today, God. Lord, and we are honored to be in your presence, God. We are honored to be found in your house on this Sunday morning. God, I pray that you speak to your people. Use me as an instrument for your glory. Lord God, let your name be lifted up. Let the name of Jesus be lifted up through everything that I say. The meditation of my heart, the words of my mouth, God, be pleasing to you, God. And we bind the works of the enemy now in the name of Jesus, because we are victorious through Christ who has given us the victory. In the name of Jesus, we say a big amen. Give somebody a big high five as you find your seat. Praise the Lord. Somebody a big high five as you find your seat. One of those high fives that sting, you know? Amen. I have a title for this message today. If you're taking notes, I encourage you to take notes because they say you only retain about 20% of what you hear. And I have been known to say a lot. So if you don't take notes, you may not remember much of what I say. So take notes if you can, even on your phone. That's great. That's a great place to take notes. The title of today's message is You Decide. You Decide. You Decide. We do a lot of audience participation at this church. So I want you to, after you finish writing that down, I want you to turn to somebody and say, you decide. You decide. You kind of point at them. Don't touch them, but just point at them. You decide. You decide. Now, don't get slapped. Don't be too. Okay, you decide. You decide. You know, the truth is that, and God has revealed this truth to me. The Holy Spirit has been really ministering to me on this topic recently, and the truth is that since the beginning of man, God has placed a responsibility on man and woman to make decisions on their own. He has placed a response. Think about it. Even in the garden, God told Adam, you decide what these animals are going to be called. God gave Adam the authority over this earth to be able to decide, we're going to call trees trees. We're going to call zebras zebras. We're going to call bears bears. To decide, to point at animals and things on this earth and decide what they were going to be called and what we were going to define them as. He's given us this authority to decide. And the truth is that we have that same power in our life today, right here and now. We can decide what kind of life we want to have on this earth. That is not defined. Your life is not defined by your past. It's not defined by your, it doesn't have to be defined by your upbringing. It doesn't have to be defined by your economical status. It doesn't have to be defined by how good people are to you, how nice people are to you. You have the final say in your life. You have the final say in your life. The truth is that the most important message you hear today is not the message that this preacher is going to preach to you, but it's the message that you preach to yourself after you leave this place having heard the truth of the Word of God. That's the most important message you will hear today, because you can decide, say decide, you can decide to leave this holy sanctuary. You can decide to leave this beautiful church with all these wonderful lights and beautiful people and big, beautiful trees and poinsettias and furniture and cameras. You can decide to leave this place and say, you know what, I ain't listening to nothing he said today. That dude got up there and talked for 40 minutes, and I'm not gonna listen to nothing he had to say. You can decide that. And that's the message that you preach to yourself. That's the most important message. And every day when we wake up, we tell ourselves, we preach to ourselves something. We decide something. We make a decision as to how we're gonna live our life. This is God's love towards us. Love, in order for God to really love us, he had to give us the ability to make choices according to our free will. In order for God to really, in us to really experience relationship and love with God, he had to give us the gift of choice. He gave us the gift of choice. People sometimes they ask, why did God put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden? If he knew that Adam and Eve were gonna mess up and choose to partake in what was forbidden, it's the wrong question. The right question is, why did they do that? Why did they disobey God? Why did they decide, having received the word of God, why did they decide to yet and still disobey God? People ask, why is there evil in this world? Why are young kids getting killed? And we had another incident happen in our city just this past week where a young kid, 14 years old, shot in the head and killed. Right over there on 64th and McKinley. And people ask, why is this evil happening? Why is this mess going on in our community, in our world? That's the wrong question. The right question is, why are people deciding to disobey God? They have the truth right here. We're here, guess what? We're here every Sunday. We're here every Sunday preaching the gospel, preaching the truth of the word of God that will set you free, that will change your life, but people have a decision that they have to make. You can receive, you can hear, but not do. The Bible tells us in James 1:22 that we should be doers of the word, not just hearers only, deceiving ourselves. In other words, you come to church and not apply what you have heard, you're wasting your time and you're playing yourself. Because when you come to church, you should come to church to receive, to hear, and to also do. Because when you do, you will experience the grace and goodness of God for your life. Turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 18, verse number 20. Y'all awake today? Are you here? 1 Kings chapter 18, verse number 20. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse number 20. Israel was in a place where they were waffling between serving God and serving other gods, false idols. False gods. And the prophet Elijah was standing up and proclaiming to the people that they should serve the one and true God. And I believe as ministers of the gospel, as preachers, as pastors, we have a duty, we have a responsibility to stand up when the world is talking all kind of nonsense. All these other philosophies, all these other new age ways of thinking, all these other, you know, new trends and different things that take us away from God. We have to stand up and proclaim the truth that sets you free. And Elijah did this. He said in verse number 20, we pick up the story. It says, so Ahab, who was the king, sent for all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you falter between two options? If the Lord is God, follow him. Sounds like he's telling them to decide. Follow him. If God is God, then follow him. If God is God, then if the Lord is God, then follow him. But if Baal, who is this false god that they were, some of the God's people were turning towards, if Baal, follow him. But the people answered him not a word. They answered him not a word. They was like, right. Their answer should have been an astounding, we're gonna follow God. It's God who brought us out of Egypt. It's God who's delivered us. It's God who split the Red Sea. It's God who sent down a pillar of fire. It's God who gave us manna in the desert. It's God. We're going to follow God. But it's so easy for us to forget what God has done for us and how good God has been. And so for me today, my assignment is to empower you to take control of your life. Elijah said, if God is God, it's almost like saying, if Jesus is really who he said he was, if this baby that we're celebrating this month, who was prophesied, the Messiah, if he really is who he claimed to be and who scriptures said he was, then what else are you waiting for? I feel like that's for somebody in here, maybe even watching online. What else are you waiting for? Jump all in with this thing. Don't look back. There's nothing back there for you. There's nothing left in the world for you. Just go full speed ahead, all in with this thing, with Christ. Serve God with your whole heart, your whole soul, your whole mind. Give him all of you. If he really is who he says he is, if he's a fraud, then don't serve him at all. If this whole thing is phony, if this whole thing is fake, then stop coming to church. Stop giving to the ministry. Stop supporting the ministry. If this whole thing, don't waffle. God said, I'd rather you be hot or cold. See, God has always, he's always made us choose. Think about it. Moses, I set before you today life or death. Choose life. Joshua, in Joshua 1. I believe it's Joshua 1:1. Joshua said to the children of Israel, choose this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. God, through his people, through his men, through his mouthpieces, he's always presented a choice and told you, required you to choose one or the other. There's no middle ground with him. And that's where we live in a society like that we live in that's so watered down. Even churches are so sugar-coated and watered down these days. Churches, they just want to rub you on the back and tell you everything's going to be okay. No, God puts before you, the true gospel is confronting. Jesus said, I didn't come to just bring peace in the way that you want peace. I came to bring the sword, which divides between the lie and the truth. So you have to decide, am I going to live all for him or am I not? Pastor used to say it all the time. And I believe you said it the other week. If you're going to go to hell all the way. Enjoy yourself on your way to hell. Drink as much as you can drink. Smoke everything that can light up. Just smoke it all up. Have sex with everything that you can find. Enjoy your way to hell. Don't half-step it. But if you're going to serve God, serve him with gusto, with your whole heart. Every time the doors of the church are open, you're pressing in, you're coming in. Give him all of you, amen? That's what he deserves. So God requires of us to make decisions. Anyone in here ever had to make a hard decision? Make a hard choice? This is a regular occurrence for adults, right? It's called adulting, where you have to make hard choices. Are we gonna go and do Olive Garden tonight, or am I gonna pay this water bill? You gotta make hard choices. Some of us, you have to decide, where am I gonna work? Where are we gonna live? You have to make hard choices, hard decisions. Like deciding, what are we gonna watch on Netflix? You just get there and you just start scrolling. And you just get memorized, you start scrolling. My wife and I, we do this all the time. We sit there and we just start scrolling through. But before you know it, a whole 2 hours has passed. That's a whole movie. You say, you want to just go to bed? Yeah, let's just go to bed. We tired. That was our movie, just scrolling through Netflix. Hard decisions. You got to make hard decisions. You got to decide. You got to decide we're going to have a good marriage. We're gonna get God involved in our marriage, be the center of our marriage. We're gonna wake up early and pray. We're gonna wake up early and read the scriptures together. We're gonna grow in the things of God. We're gonna go to church together. You gotta decide. We're going to serve the Lord as far as me and my house. You gotta decide. I'm not gonna complain anymore. Some of y'all are chronic complainers. You have a degree in complainiology. You know how to complain. You can find anything to complain about. At church, you go to church and you just start complaining. Well, the lights are too bright and the music's too loud and the pastor preaches too long and he talks too much and shut up. You just always want to find something to complain about. You got to decide, I'm going to stop complaining. Why? Because it's not honoring to God. It's not God-honoring to be a complainer, to always be nitpicking at everything, trying to find something wrong with something. You got to decide, I'm not going to gossip anymore. I'm not going to gossip. I'm not going to keep talking about people that aren't there. Why? Because it's a sin to gossip about people. Send your butt to hell. You thought it was over. You thought fornication was a sin, homosexuality. No, you talking about your coworkers is a sin. I'm going to leave that alone. We have to decide. Turn to somebody and say, decide. We have to decide to do this thing the right way. The Bible says in Ezra chapter 7, verse number 10, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to do it, and to teach the statutes and the ordinances in Israel. He had to decide. He had to prepare in his heart. This is why we have to protect our heart. The Bible says, guard your heart, because out of it flow all the issues of life. And if you have historically made bad decisions, some people in here have historically made bad decisions. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. But I was once one of those people who just habitually made the wrong decision. If that's you, then it's not the decision. I already got one. I already got one. Thank you. Yeah, no, I'm good. I'm good. Thank you. I got one. It's not the decision. It's the heart behind the decision. If you're someone who habitually makes the wrong decision, does the wrong thing, maybe you're someone who just can't control your anger and you lash out a lot. It's not the fact that you're lashing out. That's the fruit, but the root is the heart. Is your heart is not right before God. You have to decide in your heart. Ezra said, I had to decide in my heart before I got into that situation, before I get before that woman that's not my wife, before I get into that situation where I could steal all that money and take it and nobody would know. I have to decide in my heart that I'm going to live in a way that pleases God, that I'm going to honor God. I'm going to have good character before Jesus, no matter who sees it. You have to decide in your heart. Your heart has to be made up. Your mind has to be made up that you're going to do what's right before the Lord, no matter what. David said in Psalms 119, verse number 11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Have you hidden God's word in your heart? Have you hidden God's word? What does that mean? That means that you meditate on God's word every day. Every day you meditate on God's word. You read his word. You study his word. Some of you struggle with studying God's word. You can download the YouVersion Bible app. I highly recommend it, and start a plan. Go through that plan. Once you finish that plan, guess what? Start another plan. Meditate on his word. Go back and listen to Sunday's teaching or Wednesday night Bible study. Go back and listen to that and meditate on those scriptures that are preached and read. Read one of the books or a number of the books written by Pastor Mrs. Shorter, and then study on the scriptures that are referenced in those books. We have to get this word in us. We have to get the word in us. This world is full of people, Christians included, who are deficient, have a deficiency of God's word. It's his word that's alive and full of power and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing even the sun of the spirit, joints and marrow, and is the, watch this, the discerner of the heart and the intents of the thought. So guess what? When you read God's word, it starts to read you. It's the discerner of your heart. It helps you to be able to discern your own heart and be able to sift through, okay, that's wrong, because I've been studying and meditating on God's word, and it's in my heart, and I feel like I want to do that, but that is not in line with what I've been meditating on in God's word. It's not like I got to go ahead and sift that out. Gives you discernment, internal discernment, to be able to self-govern yourself, because you gotta take control of you. You gotta decide. I'm going to decide to govern and model my life according to the word of God. Life is not defined, write this down. Life is not defined by what you believe, but what you decide to do. I'm gonna say that again. Life is not defined, your life is not defined by what you believe. When you're stretched out in that casket, we're not gonna be talking about, they're not gonna be talking about what you believe. They're gonna be talking about what you did. It's not defined by what you believe, but by what you do. And that's the problem. We have so many believers, but not enough doers. We have so many believers, Christians that are believers, but they're not doers. That's the problem with the modern church. That's the problem with the church in America is everybody wants to say that they're a believer, but nobody wants to do. James chapter 2, verse number 19 says, even the demons believe. You say you have faith for, you know, you say you have faith for believe, for you believe, but that there is one God. Good for you, it says in the New Living Translation. Good for you. Even the demons believe. And they tremble and tear. But the demons don't obey God. So if you just have head knowledge and you say, I believe in God, I believe God. Yeah, I believe God. You believe in the idea of God. You believe and agree with God in your mind, but you're not walking in there. There's a cognitive dissonance that's occurring between what you believe, you profess to believe, and what you are actually doing. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. This is rampant in the body of Christ, where we have people who believe in God, but they don't serve God. They don't put their faith and trust in God enough to submit to his will for their life. But the truth is that, and you can write this down, this is another note I have for you. I have a few notes today. I'm gonna put this cough drop in my mouth so I can stop coughing. So just bear with me. Write this down. God meets you in your choice. God meets you, you can make it personal. God meets me in my choice or at my choice. He'll meet you at that place. When you decide once and for all, when you make a decision, for instance, that I'm not gonna allow the enemy to put depression on me. When you decide, I'm not going to allow the enemy to put depression on me. This weight, I feel this weight of sadness and depression and despair coming down on me. I don't know who this is for today. But you have to decide. You have to say, God, and see, God has empowered you. Remember, I told us, he told Adam, you choose, you decide. And he's telling you, you decide whether or not you're gonna live in that mess. You decide whether or not you're gonna stay in that messed up relationship that is not a marriage. Now, if you're married, it's too late. You're gonna have to figure that out. But guess what? You can decide. You can decide to fix that thing. You too can decide. And if you're a spouse and your other spouse is not serving God, guess what? You can still decide to have joy and have peace and have hope in God. You can decide that. You can make that decision. We don't give ourselves enough credit for the power that God has given us. Ephesians 3:20, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to what? The power. Say power. Say power. Say I got the power. Say I got the power. Okay. All right. If I keep on, I ain't coming back. I'm not coming back next week. We got the power to completely change the narrative of our life. Say, well, you don't know how I grew up. I was abused. I was neglected. I was mistreated. Yeah, you were. But you can decide today to be free from your past. So there's multiple things here that I want you guys to focus on, and I want you to decide today. The first one, and I'm getting ready to wrap up. The first one is decide to forget. Decide to forget. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 13. You can just put it on the board. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 13. It says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do." This is what Paul is saying. This is what I'm deciding that I'm going to do. No matter what, no excuses. Man, well, they don't like me. Well, you know what they said about me. You know what they didn't say to me. You know what? One thing I do, forget. Say forget. Forgetting those things which are behind me. And reaching forward to those things which are ahead. In order for you to go forward, you have to forget what's behind. Some of you are spinning your wheels. You've been spinning your wheels for 20 years because you have not learned to forget. Forget the people who hurt you. Forget the people who didn't acknowledge you when you felt like you deserved some acknowledgement. Forget what they said about you. Forget what you thought about yourself. Forget the mistakes that you've made. You have to forget. Say forget. Forget what your spouse did to you. Forget. In order for you to be able to forgive, you have to forget. People say, excuse me, I'm all right. I'm good. You don't have to come. I'm good. I'm going to make it. Promise you. People say, I'm going to forgive, but I'm not going to forget. Wrong. You cannot forgive until you forget. Are we better than God? God said, I have forgotten your sins. I've separated them as far as the east is from the west. I've forgotten. He forgot on purpose. This is purposeful amnesia we have to adopt as Christians. If you're expecting to have a life with God, you're going to have to learn how to forget. Some of you are holding on to things that you should not be holding on to. You got some issues, you know, some things, and then you get pushed a little bit. That button gets pushed. You know that button. That button that you got that gets pushed, and then all of a sudden you revert right back to your factory settings of, you know, you just talking about and bringing up all these things from the past. You have to forget. You have to forget. Say, I have to forget. I need to forget what happened this morning. Say it. I need to forget what happened yesterday. I need to forget what they said. I need to forget what I said. Because before we can press forward, before we can reach forward, we have to forget. It's the first thing. Second thing, count it all joy. James chapter 1, verse number 2. Put that on board. James chapter 1, verse number 2. I'll have some more things for you guys next week. James chapter 1, verse number 2. My brethren, my sisterin, count it all joy. Count it all what? Count it all what? Count it all what? When you fall into various trials. You can go on to the next scripture. Knowing that the testing of your faith, not even a test of you, it's a testing of your faith. Why? Because if it was a test of you, you'd fail. Your faith is only as good as the object of which you put your faith in. In other words, when you put your faith in God, your faith can be tested, and the test will be passed every time. This is why God tests our faith, because he's not testing us. He's really testing himself. He's saying, me testing your faith is a test of my word, because your faith is in my word, isn't it? I mean, either this thing is true or it's not. Either this is the way that we live our lives, the model that we live by, or not. Either we have put our faith in God or we don't. You make up your mind. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, he never fails you. He has never failed anyone, and he's not going to start with you. Your marriage has hope. Your kids have hope. You have hope. You can have joy because the testing of your faith is working for your good. Before you know something works, you got to test it out. Before something leaves the factory, they got to test to make sure the thing works. They got to test drive the car. They got to test drive the truck. They got to test drive the vehicle. They got to test fly the airplane. They got to make sure it works. And before you can really take off and do what you need to do, you're going to have your faith tested, but you're going to have to put your faith, your trust in God and stop putting it in everything else. The testing of your faith produces patience. It makes you better. I say it all the time. This word is not made. God didn't give us his word to make us feel better. He gave us his word to make us better. You came to church to be made better than the way that you came in. You came to church to be refined by the truth of the word of God, to be confronted by the truth which sets you free. Sets you free of what? Go back to verse number 2. Sets you free of those things which are behind me. I'm sorry. Go back to Philippians 3:13. Go set you free from those things which are behind you. Guess what? Everything is behind you. Everything that you think about, that you remember in your memory bank, is technically behind you. Even the words that I spoke 2 seconds ago are behind me. Guess what? What no longer exists, I should not give the ability or the power to control what is to come in the future. I shouldn't give that the ability and the power to control what has already happened has already happened, baby. It's over. There's nothing you can do about that. Let's focus on what we're going to do moving forward. Yeah, you made those financial decisions that messed y'all up. But get yourself back up. Dust yourself off. Say, we're going to do it right now moving forward. Today is the day. We're going to change the story. We're going to flip the script on the devil. We're going to show him in his face. We're going to do it right in front of him while he's watching, while he's thinking that he got us down, out for the count. Oh, they're defeated. We're going to get right back up, and we're going to fight again in the name of Jesus. We're going to decide. You got to decide. You got to make up in your mind. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to be someone who stands strong and continues to fight. You need to get a little bit of dog in you. You need to get a little bit of fight in you as a believer. Believe us Christians are too soft. We wait for the world to do something crazy and then we cry about it. We need to get proactive. We need to get out there and preach the gospel, the word, the uncompromising word of God. Tell them the truth, what they need to hear. That'll set them free. So we have to choose to count it all joy. Count it all joy. Count it all joy when we fall into trials, when things get a little dicey, when we're not sure exactly how God is going to answer our prayers, we have to choose. We have to decide, I'm going to count it all joy. It's not a joyful thing that's happening, but I'm going to count it all joy. I'm going to confuse the enemy. I'm going to praise God in spite of it. You can decide to do that. Did you know that? This is liberating. This is freeing to know. Did you know that you can decide even in the middle of hell, even in the middle of a storm, you can decide that you're going to praise God anyway? Did you know that? Did you know that your circumstances don't have to control you? Did you know that? Did you know that through the power of the Holy Spirit, God has empowered you to live beyond the circumstances where that no matter what happens around you, you are secure in who you are in Christ? And you count it all as loss, as rubbish, as Paul said. And you can count it all as joy. Stand to your feet. Let's get ready to dismiss. I've taken up enough of your time. I believe God's word is speaking to you today, and we're going to continue next week. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Kind of just cut out the distractions. I want you to lift your hands, if you will, if you can, if you're physically able. Just lift your hands. It's a universal sign of surrender. It's just saying to God, Lord, I surrender. I give up. I'm done fighting against you, God, and I want to be used to fight with you, alongside you. No longer opposing you, but I just surrender. I'm done running. Some of you, you've been running from God, you've been running from church, you've been running from a call that's on in your life. Today, you need to surrender to the Lord. You can make that decision today. I don't care what you've done, where you've been. God knows it all, and guess what? He loves you just the same. His opinion of you has never changed. There's not one second that goes through the day where he's not thinking about you. You are all over his mind. You are the passion of his heart. The reason Jesus came as a baby and he was born to die, he died on that cross at 33 and a half years old, and he rose from the grave 3 days later. The reason he did that was for you, so that you could know, so that you can know what it looks like to experience freedom, to experience peace. God is waiting for you. The relationship we have with God is an honor. It's a blessing to be holy. The word holy just means set apart. It's not that we have to go to church. We have to do all these things. We have to be holy, for he is holy, as he said in his word. No, we get to decide to serve God. We get to decide to live a pure life before the Lord. We have that option. We can do that. We can do that. We can turn. We can make a clean break away from sin in our life. We get to be free from the pain of this world. We get to have joy even in the middle of turmoil. Some of you, you're going through a storm right now. You're going through a trial right now. I speak God's peace over your life. I speak joy over you. I pray right now in the name of Jesus that God will comfort you, that he'll meet you right there in your decision as you decide to count it all joy, as you decide to look upward, to look to him. I pray that he meets you and ministers to your heart, that he restores your strength, that he restores your soul. Lord, we thank you, Father God, as we surrender to you with our hands lifted high. God, I pray that you meet us in this place, Lord God. Lord God, we are so glad that we can live in relationship with you, in fellowship with you, God. Lord, and I ask for you to meet your people right here. Repeat after me. Say, Heavenly Father. Say, God. Say, my God. I pray that I forget. I forget. Say, I declare today that I forget what's behind me. I forget. I let go of. I'm free of what's behind me. I'm free of my past. My past is gone. I forget those things. And I press, say I press forward. Say forward, say forward. I'm not looking back. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. Give God praise like it's already over with. Give God praise like you already got your prayer answered. Come on, give God praise like you've already seen the breakthrough. Give God praise like those children are already serving God. Give God praise like that healing has already happened. Give God praise like you already got the report from the doctor. Come on, give God praise. Come on, don't patty cake him. Lift your voice to the Lord. We praise you, God, the author and the finisher of our faith. The author and the finisher of our faith, God. Lord, you're the finisher. You're the perfecter of those things that concern us, God. Lord, we're not going to worry. We're not going to worry. We're not going to fret. We're not going to fear. We thank you, Father God. We thank you, Lord God.